You can get the latest odds, offers and more great content at williamhill.com, on the William Hill app and in any of our shops around the UK. The Daily Racing Podcast from William Hill.
And they're off.
Listen to the podcast at williamhill.com/podcast.
Third festival win and the biggest one today.
Or subscribe via iTunes by searching William Hill Podcasts in the music store.
Hello and welcome to the William Hill Racing Podcast. It's Alex Dunn and Alistair Jones with you on the latest edition, looking ahead to Sunday's racing. Well, we've got racing coming from Carlisle, from Huntingdon, from Cork and from Nace. Mr. Jones, how are you?
Very well.
You're going to be in the studio tomorrow as well, aren't you?
I am indeed.
With, I believe, Mark Walton and Andy Holding.
Indeed, yeah. Which champagne lineup.
It's quite a good team, isn't it? Mm. Apart from Mark, but, you know.
Well.
Can't have it all your own way, can
no.
you? No. We're going to focus on two races at Huntingdon shortly. Before we do, worth noting that we are recording this at 20 past 2 on Saturday afternoon. So, fingers crossed you've had a profitable Saturday. The man who I'm currently sat next to is a big fan of the Breeders' Cup and the Del Mar action.
Mm.
Which, if you are listening to this before Saturday evening, you can tune in to William Hill's Betting TV to watch. If you're listening to this on Sunday morning, then I hope you had a few winning bets. What is it about the Breeders' Cup that appeals to you? Because you've done a massive podcast, by the way, which is also available to listen to with, with Sam Norris. What is it that...
Well, I do the previews for the weekend, which obviously heightens the interest, but it's just one of them. As a rule, foreign racing doesn't really float my boat.
No, that's what I was just thinking.
Yeah, this meeting in particular always has, you know, ever since the days of... your great Breeders' Cup memories, Royal Academy and Ratsy and Pebbles and back in the day, you know. So it's always been a fascinating meeting. It's like racing's Ryder Cup, isn't it?
I suppose.
And obviously I've always done a lot of trends, so it's a wonderful trends meeting. You know, the same trends do stack up year after year.
Yeah.
So, it just appeals to me. Yep.
Did you watch any of Friday's action?
I watched it all, yeah.
Any real standouts?
Yes. Battle of Midway, who was tipped at on the podcast, won at 18-1.
There
you go. That has to be the highlight.
I was going to say, not bad.
That won very well. Massar was my other fancy in the juvenile and was... God almighty, where do you start? I mean... Mendelssohn was a good winner, very much had the run of things. Massar was incredibly eye-catching, I thought. Finished fifth in the end. Got absolutely murdered on the first bend. And as we saw last night, especially on the turf course at Del Mar, you get in a bad track position and it's curtains.
Yeah.
He's done remarkably well to finish where he has. I think he'd gone very close with a clear run, but there you go.
Okay. So that's sort of the American side of things, which obviously we're not going to talk about on this podcast because we're going to be looking ahead to some jumping on Sunday. The jump season's really sort of kicking in now, isn't it? And I know that you've got the flat season officially ending on Saturday with Doncaster. Or is it officially ending? Because the jockey's title... Anyway.
Oh, no idea.
You know what I mean,
ridiculous.
Anyway.
Yeah, the November handicap needs bringing forward to the Racing Post trophy meeting.
Yeah.
And then it's actually got a definitive
quite possibly
finish.
Yeah.
That's what should happen.
But in terms of jumpers, we've seen a few today and we've seen a few over the last few weeks that are sort of catching the eye. I think it's always difficult at this time of year to... I mean, some people are having anti-post bets already for Cheltenham and what have you. I do think it's incredibly difficult to do that now. Because you've got the likes of Nigel Twissenden-Davey, say, who always hits the ground running. You could see one of his horses at the minute and go, crikey, that could be a superstar.
Mm.
And then in 2 months' time, you go, oh, actually, it's just just goes well fresh. Or, you know, it can be really a bit of a minefield long-term, but you do see some cracking prospects this time of year.
Oh, yeah, I'm a massive believer when it comes to the Cheltenham Festival that the best form for the Cheltenham Festival is the previous year's Cheltenham Festival. And a lot of what happens in between is largely irrelevant. Small field tactical affairs on deep ground have no bearing on what actually happens out in the middle at Cheltenham in March. And I'm aware, you know, obviously you take some of a horse's well-being and what it's done in the, you know, during the season into account when it leading up to the festival, but the first port of call should definitely be what it did at the previous season's festival.
Is there any? Have you had any anti-post bets yet, or for that or anything else?
I've had an anti-post bet on Black Lion for the Grand National.
Okay.
Yeah, so I'm hoping it doesn't run particularly well today.
I was going to say, by the time that we hear this, or that you hear this, sorry, listeners, then you'll know exactly how Black Lion has fared. But that's interesting, that, for the National, because it ran really well last year.
Ran really well last year, ran too well last year for its own good. It was pulled too hard, was too free, found itself in front too early. I mean, it looked nailed onto wind turning, and it was going that well. But it needs to be ridden more patiently. I thought it was a very eye-catching run, very similar to what Hedge Hunter did the year before he won it, when he travelled too well for his own good. He actually fell at the final fence, if you remember.
You do learn a lot, don't you, going around those fences. It's invaluable, isn't it?
Yeah, the horse is a very good, he's not the biggest, but he's a very good jumper. But I think the connections will have learned a lot, as much, you know, yeah, more than anything.
That'll be the long-term aim, won't it, this year?
I hope so.
Yeah, fingers crossed anyway, yeah. Okay, well, we're going to focus on two races at Huntingdon, where we're not talking about established Grand National horses, the first of which is the... Well, we've got a nap and a next best. Are we napping in the chase?
No, we'll nap in this.
Okay.
Yeah, good thing.
The 115, juvenile hurdle, 2 miles the trip, or just shy of. You say a good thing. We've got 9 runners. None of them have won yet over hurdles. But that said, 4 of them haven't even tried yet.
Yeah. No, the interesting horse is number 8, Speedo Boy, trained by Ian Williams. Of course, a stable that's been having a really good time of it in recent weeks and months. This horse is definitely above average as a juvenile hurdler. He won a mile one listed race in France earlier this year. And having joined Ian Williams, he ran really well in some very good middle distance handicaps. He was third in his hurdling debut at Chepstow. Admittedly, he was beaten a fair way in the end, but the winner, Gumball, is very well regarded by the Hobbs team. The second, also trained by Paul Nichols, due to run Saturday, in fact. They're definitely, you know, to me, two above-average juveniles. I thought Speedo Boy ran, you know, he jumped perfectly well for a newcomer. For a horse that had sort of mile class on the flat as well, it, you know, I think Huntingdon's going to be much more to its liking than the ups and downs of Chepstow. I think he's going to take a lot of beating. I mean, he's got Amadeus Rocks and Jumping Jack to beat. They sort of set the standard. But, you know, I'd be disappointed if his horse doesn't have a lot more potential and a bit more class than that pair. The other interesting horse is the Nick Litmerden horse. Not sure how you pronounce that.
Fijiak.
Yeah, well done. He'd got useful form in France. He was beaten a long way on its hurdling debut with Toxida, but he was only 3-1 for that, which I think is pretty significant. And he dropped out of the telly, but they put a tongue tie on him on Sunday. No surprise if that made a big difference. So he'd be an interesting alternative. But I expect Speedo Boy to take a lot of beating.
You really can't knock that form, can you, of that first run?
No.
I mean, Gumball is potentially really classy.
They think a bit of it.
And Malaya won the Wednesdale Hurdle at Weatherby on Friday. And that's a listed contest. And it's not the strongest listed contest you'll ever see. But nevertheless, at this stage of the season, you can't...
Of course it did. It ran yesterday. Things are running today.
Yeah,
it did,
but it's one of those things that you just...
No, the form looks rock solid. As I said, they're both very definitely above average juveniles, and this horse has got the potential to be likewise, I think.
Okay, so Speedo Boy, the nap for Ali in the Huntingdon 115. The next best coming in Huntingdon's 250, which is a novice's chase over almost 2.5 miles. Just the 5 runners here. You can probably discount one of them, and that is Sussex Road, who...
You can definitely discount Sussex Road.
...who is rated 52 and is a 28 race maiden. The others have all got something of a case that you could maybe make for them. Torvier's likely to be outclassed in this, but certainly has a future. They're four horses that you wouldn't mind owning.
Yeah, they'll all win races over fences. I mean, Torvier, as you said, I mean, won a handicap hurdle off 1.15 Kempton earlier this year, which is a long way beneath what the others have achieved over hurdles. Casablanca Mix was 3 from 6 over hurdles in France, so of decent ability, but was beaten a fair way at Worcester. And he's tackling the boys here, so probably has a lot more on her plate. I mean, the two standout horses are without question Willoughby Court and the unit. All eyes are going to be on Willoughby Court, obviously, as you know, the winner of last year's Neptune at Cheltenham, beating the ill-fated Neon Wolf. That form is very strong because the front two were were fairly dominant in that race. I think that, you know, massive shame what happened to Neon Wolf, obviously, suffered a fatal injury during the summer. But nothing not to like about that form. And he is by far and away the most likely winner of this. Reportedly, he's schooled very well. But he's going to be long odds on. I expect him to be, you know, 1-2, 4-9, something like that. And if you take him on with the unit, Alan King's horse, he too was pretty decent over hurdles. I mean, he reached a mark in the 140s. Signed off last season with a really good third in that Grade 1 novice at Aintree over 2 miles at the Grand National meeting. And I really liked his chasing debut at Newton Abbott behind a good horse of Dan Skelton's. Basically didn't have the same gears as that horse over 2 mile round there, but he's definitely going to be suited by the step up to, you know, virtually an extra 4 furlongs on Sunday. And this horse brings a lot of potential to chasing, and also like the fact that he's been there and done it. We know he jumps fences, he's got that experience, and I think he will definitely give Willoughby Court something to think about, and at the prices he could be the interesting one.
Okay, just looking at the roll call of previous winners in this race, doesn't go to bad ones. Last few years, Le Rev, Unais, Sametagal and Ballyboly, they're not world beaters, but nevertheless they're pretty smart animals, aren't they?
They are indeed, yeah. The Huntingdon, they get... it's a nice place to start a horse off over fences, hence that's why they're sending Willoughby Court there. But this is a decent race, and I just think, although he's by far and away the most likely winner, I think the likely price is the unit is more than capable of him, of giving him something to think about.
Okay, the unit then in the 250, the next best. The nap in the 115 at Huntingdon is Speedo Boy. Good luck with your bets on Sunday, listeners. Thank you very much, Ali.
Thank you, Alex.
And we'll speak to you soon.
Cheers.
William Hill is committed to responsible gambling. Visit gambleaware.co.uk for more information.